See you.
Yes, and to everybody out there, welcome to the show. It's the 32nd episode today, and I want you guys to take a look inside with me at Ben Osborne, who's an editor, okay? Freelance writer, associate producer, and author. He was editor-in-chief at Slam Magazine when I met him, and I wrote for 9.5 years on the itinerary, but actually it was 9.8 or something like that, right, Ben? You were over there? And
I was there for 20 years.
oh my God! So your LinkedIn page, you better update that, buddy, because I'm telling you, I knew, I was like, I knew he had to be there longer than that. You know, you were definitely at.
Was editor in chief was the 9.5 years, and then before that was a writer. So when I met you, I was still working my way up.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden it was like boom. I was like, what? You edit in chief now? I said, okay. And then you went to, it wasn't straight to Bleacher Report. It was Kicks Magazine, right?
Well,
Did you do
Slam,
something
and
with it?
no, Kix was part of Slam Magazine. So while I was at
Yeah.
Slam, I was also working on that, and I helped put out a book called Slam Kix. But it was my full-time job from 07 to 2016 was at Slam. I just did a lot of sneaker stuff at the same time, and then I did go right from Slam to Bleacher Report.
Yeah, you did. You always put those hot kicks up. You know what I'm saying? Like
Yeah.
Nike could use you, brother. I'll tell you that right now. And you produced the legend of was it the legend of Sweepy?
Yeah,
Whoa.
Lloyd Daniels. Did you ever cross paths with him in your days as a Jersey baller?
No.
Okay. You know the name
Wow.
though.
No, I haven't even seen the landmark. See, I
But
got
do you know who Lloyd Daniels is?
Lloyd Daniels.
Yeah.
He's like a street ball legend.
Yeah, basically. That's who the movie's about. He got shot outside his grandmother's house in Queens and then made it to the NBA after that. It's like really, really
What a raw
insane.
dude.
And then he
What a
lived,
raw
so he
dude.
grew up in Brownsville, but then he lived in he might still live in Jersey. He's been in Jersey like as a post playing days, probably for like 20 years actually. So I don't know. He has an AAU program, but he has his ups and downs, so.
Wow, that's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And you just did so many, production, great production. You went to George Washington University, for journalism, and on LinkedIn, your LinkedIn page is bazangas. You're like endorsed by like over 500 people. Like that's
That
crazy. Like
get
I'm lucky to like have 20, 30, maybe 40 people. Like you're like 500 people that came on and said, listen, this guy is the truth, and so if I want to be like somebody like you on LinkedIn, like somebody on LinkedIn, I definitely want to be like you,
We'll
because
see
like your
what
repertoire
that
is
gets me. I don't know. That
like
in 275 will get me a Subway ride, I'm afraid, but we'll see. I have crossed paths with a lot of people for sure. You know,
Yeah,
in the
absolutely.
game, in journalism, in basketball, the whole thing.
Yeah, you sure did. So give us a glimpse into where you are now and what you're doing. I know you're doing some freelance stuff right now. Talk to us about where you are right now. You had the you on Top Slam, Bleacher Report, throwing out names, kicks, probably other people that I haven't even brought to the table. Talk about you.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, Slam was amazing. You know, that's where we met. I wrote there a long time. Then I got to become editor. I'd been there again about 10 years as editor in chief, and I loved it. But it's Slam is small, and I think best equipped to kind of have a young up and comer in charge. I also do have, as much as I love basketball, I do like other sports as well. Bleacher Report was a bigger company than Slam, and they offered me, a similar title but a lot more money and the chance to, also cover baseball, football, soccer. So that was appealing. So I jumped over there in 2016. Excuse me, in went over 4 years and learned a lot. SLAM is a small kind of family run company. Bleacher Report is part of Turner, which is now owned by AT&T. You know, we had probably 500 employees, and definitely not as fun as a little place like SLAM. But I did learn a lot. But also the impact of COVID on the Bleacher Report business was horrible. It's an ad supported business and live sports related. And obviously, you know, sports are back now, but if you think about March to July, and even once it came back, you know, the revenues are way down. So Bleacher Report, geez, I mean, they must have let well over 100 people go in 2020. And I was unfortunately one of them. So I'm a free agent for the first time in a long time. But I'm already doing some stuff back for my friends at SLAM. I'm part of the launch of a new website called iPonder. I did a story about COVID and basketball in New York City. That'll be out in a week. There's some young writers I'm kind of coaching. You know, I certainly have advice for days. So those are all the little projects. A lot of the same stuff I've been doing, just kind of for myself now. But if anyone watching, you know, needs a editorial leader, you know, holler at me. Certainly, again, even though Bleacher gave me some access to other sports, you know, basketball has been the passion and the main thing for well over 20 years. And you know, so whether that's a new media outlet or a team or a league, I definitely want to stay involved in the game.
And you will, definitely. It's to me, it sounds like you're right in a good place. You're right where God has you, where he wants you, so that, you know, you can really do the things that you want to do, because you're so talented. I've watched you from writing to, you know, all of the things that you've done on the production side and all the way to kicks, you know. So you have a resume for Nike. You have a resume for, you know, right now what's up and coming is actually the National Retired Players Association. They're trying to come up on that side with their video content. You know, you'd be somebody who really could take them to the next level. I'll tell you that for sure.
Yeah, I know they've got some new people, and one of the writers I'm kind of working with, he did some articles for that Legends magazine. So I might talk to those guys. That's WNBA is the same organization, right?
Yeah, like, everything is all included.
Are you a member of the retired? You are, okay.
Yeah. So everybody who, you know, former player, you know, you can become a member. And you know, it's not a bad membership. I can tell you that right now. Actually, I want to say thank you to them. Shout out to you, because they sent me another mask, real nice mask. Okay. And they keep it moving. And something else too, because I've been getting these little gifts in the mail. People have been sending me masks. And also, I want to say shout out to my man Vince Simmons. He also sent me a mask for the rain. And so I definitely wear them. Actually, I had the rain mask on yesterday when I was at practice, because we just started practice. And so let me reintroduce you. Listen, you're listening to a WNBA State of Mind, and I got my guy Ben Osborne on here, you know, and we're just chopping it up. Producer, editor, writer, author, just talking about some old times, talking about some new days. And, you know, I'm just really happy to have you here on the show. You just, you know, as a writer, how important is it for you to try and reconstruct the individual's life story on paper? Because you did a story on me, and you blew my mind, you know, when, you know, like the titles, like, first of all, you gave me a 3-page layout in Slam Magazine, and it was, you know, it, Shamiqua Holzclaw was on the cover. And I was smack in the middle, man. And, you know, it's the title is, Who the Hell is Adrian Goodson?
That was the ABL days.
Yo, and it was just before I was going into the WNBA, so thank you for pissing some people off, man. But I'm telling you, I was hot coming out. You know, I had a couple of shows that I did. I was on the show, remember BET, Coolio?
Yep.
Coolio had, yeah, that was not, I got that actually. I'm gonna burn that to CD so I can throw that up. And he had a hot show. That was nice. I missed that show. BET had some nice shows, but
did.
I could tell you this. How important is it for you to like reconstruct a person's life story? Because you came over here to Bayonne. It's crazy.
No, I think it's really important. And I was on another show like last week talking about this. I mean, when we go back to the days that I wrote about you and was coming up as a writer, what was unique about Slam, I think, was that we were trying to really let the players speak for themselves, have a little different tone than, the Sports Illustrateds or newspapers. And I think that players appreciated that. So that was very cool. And of course, you want to go back with the athlete, figure out where they came from, motivations. Now, if you jump ahead to today, the social media explosion in general, I think, has been really good. And I think it lets players, athletes, celebrities, whoever, regular people, kind of tell their story their own way, which is great. But obviously, ultimately, that's going to be, same with it, whether it's a team's social media account, a player's, a league's, they're going to put, it's going to be like very image conscious. And I do think there's still value in a basically unbiased observer really reporting about someone's life. I think you learn a little bit more that way. So even though someone might say, oh, I know all there is to know about my favorite player because I follow them on Instagram or Twitter or whatever, I do think that there's still a lot of value in a good writer spending a day, a few hours, whatever, with a subject and also getting to interview their family, their coaches. To me, that paints the truest picture, and I think fans get a lot out of that. I mean, we're all sitting at home watching games on TV. The ones of us that are thoughtful, I would like to think, want to know more about that person. How did they get there? How did they, what drills did they do? What mental, stuff did they go through? That's what got me interested in it from when I was a kid, and so I still aspire to do that, whether I'm writing a story or whether I'm helping a young writer write a story. I want them to teach me something about the subject and getting to know you and telling the slam readers about you was a good example of that. So I think that whole kind of art form is in a different place now, again with how much people can control their own messaging, but I still think there's a lot of value in it.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember you showing up, with your jeans, your Nikes on, backpack, filled up with all of your equipment, and we're walking by Bayonne High School. I just so happened to be home, and we scheduled it because I was living in Virginia, and we scheduled it. So when I was up here, and we walked over by the school, and you took some great pictures in the gym. Underneath my banner that they had up there with my jersey, and it was just the things that you did, and then the whole photo shoot in the gym. Okay, I'm a pro player, and I'm doing a photo shoot in my high school where most of it started, a lot of it started in Bayonne for me. So it was like and to get that personable with you that. We're here talking now and having years and years of a relationship where like you'll pop in going, hey, Goody, what's hey, what's going on? Where you at? And vice versa. So I love it. I love it.
It's
So
no, it's very, it really is special. And honestly, most of my most memorable stories involved, going back to where someone's from. You don't just land on an NBA court or a WNBA court. There was years and years of, hard work and that go into that. And I don't know if people remember that all the time.
yeah, right. You gotta jog their memory. So, not to put you under any pressure, but who was your favorite interview? Like real that person was it for you. Like you sought after him because not every time you saw you seek someone, you're gonna get him. You're gonna get that interview. So you sought after that person. It was like, bingo, I got him.
I mean, I'm kind of proud to say that, and these weren't the best interviews, but I have to just name them because of the size of the personality. I mean, I did
Yes.
get to do a one-on-one with Michael Jordan for Kicks magazine. You know, it was about 10 minutes, but that's 10 minutes more than most humans have ever gotten with him. And he was actually good. I mean, it was about sneakers, you know, I wasn't asking anything controversial, but he was engaging, and you know, it was pretty awesome. I'll never forget that. So that's, you know, again, I'm starting with the big names. Also, I mean, LeBron talked to Slam a lot, and you know, I got to rap with him a few times. But my one, I was doing a cover story, and it was during his third year with the Heat. I mean, they were playing like, you know, I get it. Now he's a Laker, and we'll always remember him as a Cav. But you know, those 4 years at Miami were like kind of his peak as a player. And that third year, they were on the winning. They won like 27 games in a row. They were playing Boston, and we wanted to put him on the cover. We called his manager, and the guy was like, "Look, we'll give you like 15 minutes for a shoot or an interview. What would you rather?" And we'd done a lot of cool shoots with him, and he had, you know, his action photos are so good. I was like, you know what? Let's get the interview. Well, don't worry about a photo shoot. And he's like, all right, he'll talk to you after the Celtic game. So, I mean, again, Goody, this is like
Nice.
they're playing incredible. He's the MVP. It was actually the game he dunked on Jason Terry, which is not a huge feat given how much bigger he is, but it's one of his most famous dunks because he just
Poor
absolutely
Jason Terry.
destroyed him. But you know, the game ends. It's lots of press there. You know, I think it's their 23rd straight win. He's already got to do the 20 minutes of group session. I'm like, this dude is not going to honor what he said. Sure enough, it clears out, and the guy from the Heat's kind of like, yo, that's Ben from Slam, remember? And he's like, oh yeah, come on over. Get like 15 minutes with him at, you know, at just like the peak of his powers. So those were incredible experiences. Those spoke as much to what people think of Slam as they do. You know, I was representing a brand that they loved, so that was absolutely amazing. But then you also have kind of people that are happy to talk to you and not under as much pressure, but still give you great interviews. I mean, I don't even know where to begin. A kind of a version of the story I did on you, where we went back to Bayonne. I did Rip Hamilton. I went to Coatesville with him, spent a whole day. You know, Rip was incredibly open about everything that, you know, he had gone through. I'll always remember that one. Luol Deng, Charlie Villanueva. My favorite player of all time is Mark Jackson. I've gotten to interview him a bunch of times. Chris Mullin. I mean, you know, Goody, I grew up outside New York City, and like I think that this, you know, New York, New Jersey, PA, like that, this is kind of what I grew up with. I grew up going to high school games, Catholic League games, summer, you know, summer tournaments. So this is like, obviously I was not a good player, but I was around it so much. So those, you know, the best interviews I think I've done are guys and women from the tri-state area, because I feel like I'm so familiar with the background here, you know. So that's
Yeah.
certainly like the Mark Jackson, Chris Mullin, old St. John's guys, stuff like that was always absolutely thrilling. Shamiqua, you know, really, yeah, this is, I mean, there's great ball players everywhere, but I'll always be a little biased to folks from out here, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I get it. I get that from you. And I can see it in your swag too. You know, whenever you would come to do a story, you come around, you know, you had your little bop, had your bag, you know, hat side, you know, you had your little New York swag going with you, Ben.
Goody, let me ask you
Okay.
something too, because it's right. Have you seen Soul yet?
No, I need to. I was just looking at that today and I was telling a friend of mine. All right, so thank you for saying that.
Do
I
you see
want to go see Soul.
this cover behind me?
Yeah,
That's
Bron.
LeBron on the cover of Slam.
Yeah.
That cover, a version of it, is in the movie. Wait till you see
Wow.
it. It's so dope. The only other
Listen.
thing, the movie's not as good as it could have been, in my opinion. It starts great, it gets a little weird, but you still got to see it, and then keep your eyes open because the slam shout out is so awesome.
It's so dope, right?
Yeah.
And listen, I wish them the best because I can tell you, I was in that magazine 3 times. Plus, I ended up, under your tutelage when I was writing.
Yep. Yeah,
So
you were
I
doing a
and
column for the website.
yep, in the very beginning, it was hot too. They weren't ready for the video aspect of me though. And then now you see it. I was sitting, you remember when I was like, Ben, I gotta put a video, like they'd be like, oh, all right, they weren't ready for it. Now it's like video
You were ahead of
everywhere.
your time. No,
Yeah, you
you're
already know
absolutely
me
right.
with this video game over here. That's what I love to do. Editing and just creating something from the ground up. And so, okay, you used to call me all the time, Goody, Goody, I gotta get Karl Malone. That leads me to, who's the person that you just were like, oh my God, and you just didn't get him, but you didn't get him then, doesn't mean you're gonna get him now.
I mean, look, for it's funny you say him because, yeah, like he was like the last era that didn't really give a shit about Slam Magazine, Karl Malone,
Yeah.
Reggie Miller, John Stockton, Patrick Ewing, although eventually he became friendly with one of our editors. But that was a tough crew to get, in Slam. I think of the current guys, then I was at Bleacher Report, and I know that like Russell Westbrook felt some type of way about Bleacher Report, so he would never talk to us, so that was kind of frustrating. I mean, do I have a I've never interviewed Magic. That would be pretty good. Bird, I was able to get like when he was a coach at the Pacers, but never really about his playing days. At least I did get the one Jordan. But I think some of those 80s, Magic Johnson, if you could get Magic like talking freely, sometimes he just gives the most boring cliches, but like an honest interview with Magic Johnson, if he would give one, would be pretty phenomenal, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Magic is a cool dude. And to say that I got the opportunity to be around him so many times, and it wasn't just a brush, he literally came in the locker room and hung out when I was, and this was before the WNBA, the ABL, because it was me, Dawn Staley, and Jackie Joyner. Kersey played on the team, right? And we were playing the Atlanta Glory. So we're in the locker room, getting ready to start, and in comes Magic. We were like, yo, what? Yo. So he's like, comes in, and then Jackie goes running over, of course, from star to star, from Olympian to Olympian. So they start talking, and then he just comes over because we always played cards before the game. Dawn loves to play cards. She's still playing cards to this day. And yeah, we would play cards for anything to bet, man. We just anything. We bet on a bag, whose bag was coming out first, in between, two cards on each side, flip whatever comes in between, if it's higher or lower, you get a dollar. You either coming out of the airport broke or with a fat pocket, one or the other, So it's funny though. But yeah, just to meet you, put that name out there. I mean, Magic is phenomenal, man. And I know we touched upon this when I was talking about, just trying to depict someone's life on paper. Like, discuss the media right now and how it's changed from your perspective. I know social media is definitely there, but you've actually graduated with this thing. We went from, having to be on foot to now there's a text message. Now we could video each other. Like if we had had that back in the day, how things would have been different. And now you've evolved to this time. What's the what changes are for the good, and what changes are for the bad?
I mean, I think that it's similar the same way, like, a lot of there's opportunity, which is definitely good. The same way a player can present themselves now social media or blogging, anyone that has a computer, dude, even just a phone, opens up the ability to communicate with a lot of people. So that's the good. I think the bad is that it's harder to distinguish kind of fact from fiction. Obviously, this is a much bigger problem in politics. And in sports, there's not lives on the line, so I don't want to put it the same way. But it's kind of like I said, I still think there's value in a reporter, a legit reporter, spending time getting to know a player, getting to know their family, getting to know the game, then writing about it or making a video. Obviously, it's not, I'm not just about text, whatever type of media, but like just an observer that is trained in telling a story honestly and putting it out there. Nowadays, that person can still do that, but you also have kind of competition from Joe Schmo that's never been to a game, that's never spoken to a player, and they can put something on the internet too, just the same. And I think that fans of sports or people interested in politics, in that case, like they're just bombarded with so much, and you don't always know like what is a trusted source and what is not. So at least the ability for players to communicate, I mean, ultimately, obviously, that's a trusted source. They're going to put their best foot forward and maybe not talk about struggles they've had, but at least that's honest. But there's also, again, a lot of the openness now lets people without kind of the credibility or the training come out and say they know about this player or they know that thing. And I just think it's there's so much now, and it's a little hard to distinguish like what is a reputable source. So I don't know the answer because I'm not, you don't want to play God, and there's very talented people that probably have made a name for themselves that they wouldn't have been able to when it was like a tighter circle. But I just hope that people not in the, those of us that, and I, you're in the business now, you're making your own stuff. I think we are in it. We can see what's quality, what's not quality. There's millions of people in this country that work regular jobs that have nothing to do with this stuff. And, how are they supposed to distinguish the truth from the fiction? And so that's a little, that's kind of the downside. The good side is a lot, much more access to reach people. The downside is what happens when that's taken advantage of by people that are, either trying but dumb or just blatantly lying about whatever subject they are. It's a little scary.
And that's good. That's valuable information that you're giving, because just by you saying that, you shed light on the fact that, if you're reading something, go deeper. Don't just believe it to be the truth. Find out about that writer too, because then that's when all of this fake news stuff, and it's real. It's definitely out there. But if if you're an avid sports fan, most avid sports fans know what those sources are, and they go to those particular platforms on a regular. That was a great answer though. So what teams you like right now? What teams you got? I try to. I can't narrow in on one team. I got guys that I know that I like, and
You
it's
know what?
hard.
It's I've always been with basketball, and certainly working in it made it even more true. But I'm kind of like you, well, just as counter, like baseball, I've been a Dodger fan my whole life. Football, New York Giants, like no problem. Basketball, I've always bounced around. Like whatever team Mark Jackson was on, I love them. The Nets had Kenny Anderson and Derek Coleman. Go Nets! Obviously. You gotta like Jordan and Pippen. My parents are from Chicago, so I had a Bulls era. Then I love LeBron. I had a Cavs era. Now my fiance is Greek, like from Greece, so she's obsessed with Giannis. The Bucks are fun as super fun team. So we watch all the Bucks games. But then I still love LeBron. So do I like the Lakers? I mean, I think I'm extremely disloyal to teams in the NBA. So far this year, definitely watching a lot of Bucks, seeing if they can kind of recapture. They were having such an incredible season last year before COVID, and then they went to the bubble and just they couldn't, I don't know, they really were not the same, but they're playing pretty well. The Nets are fascinating. I can't say like I'm rooting for them necessarily, but obviously it's going to be very interesting to watch what they do. The Heat are always like gritty and tough. I mean, the league is in good shape. I do think that the no fans is weird. Like it's not the same viewing experience in my opinion, but at the end of the day, it's still hoops, and I'm still watch college too. I'm a big St. John's fan, which is pretty frustrating, but whatever. And I think on the women's side, I really hope for WNBA's sake that fans are legal when it comes back. Because same thing, I think it just adds to the atmosphere. I think that the Liberty are such a kind of key franchise that had a few bad years left in New York, and then they get Sabrina. They're going to move to Barclays Center. My daughter loves the Liberty. Like I was psyched about that, and I really hope that for the sake of that league and that franchise, that I just think there'll be some good energy there. Yeah, it's not. It's again. It's just the viewing experience is not the same in my opinion without fans. So I hope that it's safe sooner rather than later, because I think it just adds to the atmosphere. I mean, you tell me. Like, do you think that it would be harder to play in these atmospheres?
Well,
Or no?
yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a psychological thing, when everybody is a potential candidate for being sick, and being in that environment and constantly having that on your mind. And I don't know where I put it. I can't believe I took it off. But yeah, let me, I gotta grab it. I gotta show you this. I gotta show you this. And I'm glad you mentioned it because it led me to this. I've been waiting for this since I've been complaining about the COVID ring that all of the players got from the NBA, the WNBA, right? So I got that right
You
now.
got
So
one?
yeah, so I wear it, and it's this company called Oro, okay? Ouro. I think the ring is like $299. Basically, what it does is it just gives you a reading of everything that's going on inside of your body, from your body temperature to your resting heart rate to your breathing, your sleeping patterns. It gives it, it takes your temperature all day long.
Do you
It will
charge it,
tell.
or how does it run?
Yeah, you it's got a little dock, and you put the ring on it, and you charge it. It takes your like. You can do, you walk with it, it'll do your, and it has this whole thing. Like if I go on my phone onto the app, it'll give my whole, I put the ring on there, it just, whoop, you can see it reading it, and then it just puts my whole body. So when you're not doing well, it tells you, because it's like, there's a pay attention. It's like you're good, and then over here is pay attention, and then you have a bar that goes, So I was like pretty far away from it, but it just kind of keeps you in the know of what's going on with your body and everything like that. Things that you can't possibly know, it's doing. Telling me, it told me, of course I don't get enough sleep, so it told me that yeah, you goody, you need to get some sleep, man. Stop this, 3 hours, wake up, go back to sleep, maybe for an hour, wake up for the rest of the day, kind of stuff, but it's just this whole COVID pattern. That's the reason why there's so much pressure right now on athletes that are playing, because you really have to stay away from people. You have to, because if you don't, then the whole team gets shut down. It's all it's going to take is one of our kids not to do what they're supposed to do. But the unique thing that we have in our gym, and I really appreciate Newark Public Schools for doing this, is we have this huge ventilation system that's by the door, and it's a COVID machine. I don't know what it is. It's just, I don't know what it does, but it cleans the air. The air is clean. So as we breathe it out, it just takes it or whatever. So, just all these different precautionary measures that we're using. And so, yeah, it would be tough to play in that atmosphere. But, you know, if I was playing, I'd be playing. I'd be playing. I'd be out there with a mask or whatever the case may be. Stay, quarantine, all of that stuff. If you're gonna be dedicated to the sport, you gotta do what you gotta do. You know, the young players that are out there though, who you like? Oh my God, there's so many good players right now. Who is your guy? I love Ja.
Jaw's awesome. It's so sad that he got hurt, but it sounds like he'll be back soon. He's amazing. I like Luka a lot. You know, I
Yes,
think
me too.
he does so much with the ball. You know, this year the kid Tyrese Haliburton looks pretty good out of Iowa State. He's nice. Who
Think about
else?
the
Well,
Mellow Boys.
yeah, you know what? Good for yeah, the ball family. LaMelo looks great, which is very cool. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. I don't know if you've seen Gonzaga at all, but this kid, Jalen Suggs, is really dope. You know, I think he'll be the first pick in the draft next year. Another kind of big point guard. Maybe not quite as athletic as Ja Morant, but very, very skilled. So yeah, I like the guys that can kind of run the show and do a little bit extra. Certainly the Lucas Jaws like that, LaMelo too. Yeah, the talent level is super high. I mean, that's what I'm saying. The game is in great shape, and like you said, if you're a baller, this is what you do for a living, you're going to be out there. I just think, you know, I do get excited thinking about whether it's the end of this season or next season, when there's fans, when people can see their families again. Like, I just the strain must be a lot in this on some of these young guys too. So, you know, God bless them for staying safe and still playing really good basketball given all that. But I just think it'll be a whole other level, you know, when we're back to some degree of normal. But you're right, the talent, the young talent is really, really, really high.
Yeah, phenomenal. It's just I enjoy watching it. And like I said, if I, you know, I'm such a fan of the game, like however I can get it. If I gotta watch it at home all the time, then that's the way that it is. I just wanna be watching it, you know? And so, yeah, definitely a good deal. And I wanted to ask you, how can people keep up with you on social media? How do people want get at Ben Osborne, the chief, you know, the editor in chief?
I welcome it. You know, if you need articles written, if you need videos conceived, if you need editing advice, or real story editing, concepting, whatever. You mentioned LinkedIn. I'm certainly on there. My handle on Twitter and Instagram is the same on both. It's BOsborne17. That was my old high school number, and it's done okay for me. The email address is benosbornework@gmail. I'm actually not on Facebook. Apologies if that, since I think we're on that right now. I don't really regret that decision personally, although maybe that's hurt me at times professionally. But you know, I think for writers, you know, Twitter is still very, very, very popular place for the sports writing community. So I get a lot of my stuff from there, and certainly people hit me up there. Instagram is beautiful. I'm not like a photographer, but I still love that platform. And then, you know, it's funny you say about LinkedIn. I mean, I do feel incredibly well connected there, and I do like to look people up there. But it hasn't, you know, I'm not like getting a lot of work off of there at the moment, but we'll see, you know.
LinkedIn is it's a different platform. It's like there's a lot of salespeople over there, definitely trying to get their thing off. You know what I mean? But I put my content out over there, you know, just to put it out there. And I like some things about their platform. And when I was in a couple of the MBA programs, LinkedIn was a platform that they use very heavily. So
Yeah, I mean, I
I
think
had to have a
on the pure business side, it's probably very legit for editor, you know, it's not as natural, I think, for writer editor types. But yeah, you can, you know, really hey, email, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, hit me on any of them. And you know, I do one of the things I was proudest at Slam when I was editor was kind of working with up and coming writers, you know, like we were like a farm team to the whole industry. So, you know, if people need help on the on their way up, or you know, just some experienced leadership, I've got that for days. So
Yeah, definitely, no doubt. You definitely got it for days. Now I'm gonna put you under pressure. Who is the MVP and who wins it?
I mean, I think the Lakers are going to win again.
Yeah.
you know, and I think that, you know, literal will he? It's like people are bored of LeBron, I guess, which is crazy, or take him for granted. But you know, he should be the MVP, I think. You know, he's still doing it there. I mean, Adrian, I thought that he would. You know, I mean, that dude was playing. When did they win the title? Early October. You know, they're back at it in December. I thought he'd show up like in February. I can't believe how many games he's already played, you know, and that they're playing basically as well as they are. Like I thought they might be bored until March, and it's just like, you know, he just every game he treats so special. And you know, I don't know if we'll ever see someone like that again, just doing it so long at such a high level. And you know, maybe again, it's like, you know, I mean, I think Jordan won like three MVPs, even though he was probably the best player, you know, 10 times. And same with LeBron, like people get bored and they want narratives, and so they vote for, you know, the flavor of the season, which is fine. But like LeBron is the MVP still, in my opinion, and probably was last year. And you know, Giannis is an awesome player, but no coach for one game or one series is going to take him over LeBron James. So there's your MVP, in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's definitely the blueprint. He's leaving a blueprint of what it takes to be on top. You know, a lot of times people don't realize the blood, sweat, tears, grit, you know, the ice baths, you know, the achy bodies, the 2-a-day practices, the working out so hard that you just, you know, chuck your cookies off to the side, but you still got to come back in. Into practice, you know, waking up all kinds of crazy times in the morning, you know, maybe something happening stupid with the flight pattern and you gotta land and play.
Yeah.
So,
No, it's
had plenty of
crazy.
those.
It's absolutely the dedication that it takes is just is wild. And you know, I think the league would be wise to, you know, on I think he you know, as much as he's won, I think that something like that, you know, to me he deserves one more MVP for all the reasons you just said. And I really did not expect him to play this much or this well when they just finished their season, ended like 6 weeks earlier. Like that's a crazy turnaround.
So how many games, 'cause I can't remember, how many games did they play
What, in
in
Orlando
total
or
last year? No, last year. Well, how many games? Well, it wasn't, but I'm surprised. Like, it's
they
funny to
played
even be saying last year right now.
well they were It was March 11th. Teams were like in the 60s. Then they played eight more regular season games. Well, some teams just, you know, went home and never played again. So they were somewhere in the 60s. Then the teams in Orlando played eight more. So the Lakers probably played like 72 regular season games. And then they played four best of seven series, you know, which went anywhere from 4 to 6 games. So they played, you know, he probably played close to 90 games last year, ending in October. So
Only to start back up in December. And
exactly.
yeah, and it's just that's I'm telling you, just staying in shape, and that's what it'll do for you. You don't get injuries, and if you do, you bounce back. It's not an injury that's going to take you out for long, long periods of time, or end your season. You might tweak a ankle, do something to your finger or whatever. That's the difference between being in shape and not being in shape.
For all that people watch any sport, although in some it's maybe more about a skill like hitting a baseball, maybe those guys don't have to be perfectly fit, but I think of basketball and football in particular. For all the millions of people that watch these games, I still don't think they have at all a proper grasp of like what goes into it on
Yeah.
the physical side. I really don't, you know. I mean, I don't even know it, but I've at least seen bits and pieces. I've seen the massages, I've seen the ice baths, I've seen the hours. Like, you know, I just it's so easy for the fan to just, you know, it's like the opposite. Like all the fan has to do is sit their fat ass in front of the TV and turn it on, and they're seeing superhuman feats. It's like it doesn't compute in their brain. Like just because they just sat down, you know, with their beer, like they're like, I just think it creates this disconnect where they can't possibly fathom all that happens. And they're like, these guys are making so much money, they're only working 2 hours. It's like, bro, they're working
You
24
have
hours
no
every day,
idea.
everything they eat, you know, every time they sleep. Like you said, the ring that's monitoring it, like, you know, so I have so much respect for you, you know, and you know, you're now you're the fan, the media, but you were the athlete to play some of these sports at that level is just an unbelievable achievement. And you know, I don't know how to, in my case, it was writing. I think video provides it, but that's another reason why I like telling these stories. I want fans to appreciate what they're watching. Just because it came on your TV at 2 o'clock, that's not when the work started. You know what I'm saying?
Haha. Wow, that's powerful. And you know that I'm a fan also of mentoring the youngins. So I would love for you to take us out of here with something for one of these young heads that are aspiring to be a journalist, get into editing, communication, mass media.
Yeah, thank you. I love doing that stuff, and I think that it obviously doesn't have the physical strain of playing the sport, but it's a similar level of commitment. You got to read all the time, or whatever medium you want to get into. If it's writing, you know, don't just start writing. Read. Pay attention to what you like. If it's documentaries, watch a bunch of documentaries, and then, you know, try to add your spin. If it's animation, if it's photography, like you have to consume so much of it to just, you want to be familiar with different styles, you know. So I think that to pick your passion, you know, engage with it, do it. If it's social media, follow a bunch of places. And then the other thing, and it's like, it's so obvious, but you'd be amazed, you know, maybe in all fields, but artists sometimes like don't know how to use a calendar or a clock. Like ultimately, you know, of course you want to do stuff on your own platforms, but I think, you know, we're still in an era where you get a nice seal of approval if you get an assignment from Slam, from the New York Times, from Facebook, from your local newspaper. Turn that thing in on time, you know, be reliable. Like those are, you know, to me it's engage with what you want to be good at, and then just be reliable. Do if you're lucky enough to get paid to write a story or produce a video for an outlet that's going to be seen by millions of people, have some respect for that place and for yourself, and get it in on time. You know, that was, I think, half of my success has just been being reliable. And then when I became the editor, you know, you could have the most talented writer in the world, if you couldn't count on it being in on time, it's like it loses its value. So I think, you know, you really want to be reliable. You know, you can't be terrible. You need to have some abilities, but just live up. If they want 1,000 words on January 17th, give them 1,000 words on January 17th.
Yeah. See, I got some people on here watching, and gotta give a shout out to a few of them. Scott Molesky, he actually does his own podcast, and he does shows and stuff like that. So he said a lot of things that you were talking about were great and on point. And
cool.
So got my cousin watching, Helen Payne, Susan Miz, Tony Ann LeBruno watching the show. What's up, girl, from around the corner? Craig London, Dante Borders, Angela Mack. Yes, thank everybody for coming on to the show, watching the show live. I'm sitting here with my guy, Ben Osborne. Ben, thank you so much for coming on the show. WNBA State of Mind keeps it moving, you know. And if you have Anchor FM, download it. You got Google Podcasts, download it. Got Apple, download it. Yes, Spotify, download it. On most platforms, I could go on and on, but I won't do that today. All right? Happy Sunday to everybody out there. Ben, I love you, and I'm telling you, I see you. I see you. I see you. You got a show, man. You got something's coming down the pike for you, baby. You in the right place.
I think
you
so.
In the right place.
Thank you.
All
Stuff
right.
Stuff like this helps. It's great to see you, and you know, you're a great role model for players and ex-players, and I love all the stuff you're doing, and we'll be in touch.
Yes, definitely. And kiss that baby girl for me now. How old is she now?
She's 13.
Oh, my Crazy. God. I got to go. Bye. Love you, Ben. Talk
okay,
to you
love
soon.
You too, Gritty. All right, bye-bye.